The Church of Jesus Christ has faced huge challenges throughout its existence. You know, the moment that the church was birthed, or the church was born, there's been a lot of challenges, obstacles, struggles. But you see, it's been nearly 2,000 years, and the Church of Jesus Christ is still here. So for 2,000 years, there's been struggles and challenges. You see, serving God is not without challenges. Serving God is not without obstacles and oppositions. I mean, serving God you're going to come face to face with huge challenges, and you might not even know how to navigate through them. I mean, recalling the words of Jesus in John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And then he said, "In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have tribulation." But then he said, "But be brave, I have overcome the world." And I love last week when I was talking about when Jesus said that he will build his church, that always keeps me going with this hope, because Jesus said, "And the gates of Hades will not overpower my church." So if you and I are the Church of Christ, it doesn't matter what hell wants to throw at you, it's not going to fly. It's not going to overpower you. And so we have the confidence because Jesus said, "I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell, Hades, the gates of the underworld, the spiritual realm, that will not be able to overpower my church, because it is the Church of Jesus Christ." So, nevertheless, even though we know that the church will go on forever, in the meantime, as we continue being the church, we'll face challenges. We're going to face external challenges, and sometimes we're going to face internal challenges from within the church. You see, as followers of Jesus, you and I need to understand that we battle against difficulties, obstacles, on our way to accomplishing the mission of Jesus. See, to accomplish the mission of Christ will not be without obstacles, will not be without challenges. You and I are going to be facing, I mean, we might be facing one right now, but you and I will continue facing challenges until the day that Christ comes for his church. These challenges come to distract us from the main mission. They come to make us quit running the race of faith. My friends, you and I need to understand, growing in Christ won't be without struggles. Growing in Jesus, growing in your relationship with Christ, will not be without challenges and struggles and difficulties. Now, we can certainly learn so much in how we handle the challenges the Christ way, the God way, when we are faced with difficulty in this life. We're going to examine a text in the book of Acts, chapter 6. When the church was faced with a huge challenge, even though it was the outcome of something good. But you see, that challenge was there. They needed to deal with it, because it could have split up the church. It could have just, you know, you're going to see when we go into chapter 6. We know that the church in the first century began at the preaching of the apostles. The apostles began to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Messiah. And so in chapter 2 of Acts, the church was birthed. And so for about 3,000 people, they were baptized after Peter preached his first sermon. So this is the church. And the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 2:42. And then here's the church. See, everything is going so well. You know how it is sometimes when things go well in your life, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody throws you a curveball. It's like, what's going on? Why did that happen? You see, Satan began to attack the church through severe persecution. You know, Christians were being dragged out of their homes and be put in prisons because they wanted them to stop preaching Jesus. By chapter 3, you see Peter and John, they get thrown in jail because they were proclaiming Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and the religious leaders did not like. So now the church is going to prison because of the message of the gospel. It's interesting, Satan it was the orchestrator of the persecution, but the persecution that happened in the first century could not stop the church. You following me? Jesus said, nothing is going to stop it. The more that the Christians were persecuted, the more they grew. And that's even true today. You see in China and some in Afghanistan, the more that they persecute Christians to stop them, the more that they grow. They multiply. Amazing. because their faith is solid in Jesus. So Satan failed with the external persecution. You know what Satan's new strategy was? He went to church. That's right. Satan came to their gathering because he wanted now to attack the church from within. He said, I cannot destroy the church from, you know, with the authority, with the Roman soldiers. I'm going to go myself in, and I'm going to start, you know, in their fellowship. So Satan tried to do that. Attack the church, divert the church from its main mission because he came to the gathering. That's what he does. He always, when he cannot beat you one way, he's going to find a different strategy. External, yeah, no. Now, he's going to come to church and he's going to start getting people mad at each other. And maybe we're going to gossip. And that's all Satan doing, by the way. Oh, let's create division in the church. Who's the orchestrator of division? Satan. He goes inside that. And he does that in the families, too. For dividing families, because, you know, it's like, well, if they remain together, he won't be able to do it. But he gets somewhere, and that's what he did to the Church of Jesus Christ. And you see how he did it, through deception. So growth is great, but with much growth comes great challenges. Uncle Ben told Peter, with great power comes great responsibility. With great, remembers that. With great growth will come greater challenges. So Acts chapter 6, let me read to you what happened. I mean, this is awesome. The church is growing, more and more people. You see, I love Luke. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. He started telling you there were like 3,000 people. By chapter 4, he says there were like 5,000. And then by chapter 6, 7, he tells you a huge multitude. He stopped counting because the disciples of Jesus Christ were multiplying all over the place. It says, when the growth, Acts 6, beginning in verse 1. So you see what happened here. Reading from the ESV. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, this is the apostles, the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is amazing. There's such a large growth that the church is experiencing. You notice, in those days when the number of disciples increased, a complaint happened. From the Hellenists, or the Greek-speaking Jews versus the Hebrew-speaking Jews. More growth was taking place in the church in Jerusalem. Like I said, this is a great happening. So more, but you see, when you have more people to deal with, you will have more personality issues. You will have, I mean, because not everyone is going to get along. So the more growth you have, growth is a great thing, but that means that you're going to have bigger challenges. And it's the same, even some of us are students. The more that you continue to know the subject, now they continue to, things continue to get harder. You start with plain math, and then later on you hear about algebra and geometry because you're more mature. You know more now. Now there's more responsibility. Now we're not going to give you geometry when you're like third grade. We're going to wait until you're over there because you have more. So with more growth, there will be more challenges, more difficulties, more struggle. You see, in those days, it's interesting, Luke just said, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, a complaint arose from the Hellenists. Hellenistic Jews were those ones that were more Greek in their culture. They spoke the Greek language, and the Hebrew, the Jews spoke Hebrew. So you have two groups, even though they were Jews, but they have different cultures. The Hellenists complained that the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Already, by chapter 6, you realize the church had a food pantry? Appears to be that way. Because they took care of the needs. I mean, when you read chapter 4, it says that there was no needy persons among them. For the disciples, whatever people gathered, they would bring it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone according to their needs. So they took care of their community. But now by chapter 6, there was a complaint that the Greek-speaking Jews said, hey, you know, our widows, I mean, they're being neglected. They're being overlooked in the daily distribution. It's almost like you guys are giving the Jew-speaking the Hebrew-speaking Jews, you're treating them with special favor and things like that, and you're neglecting our widows. So there was a complaint, a legitimate complaint. And so, hey, you know what I mean? The apostles are preaching the gospel, but now there's an issue in the church. You might call this the first church issue in the first century. Now, this is big, my friends, because this issue could have become racial. Greek-speaking versus Hebrew-speaking. You know, I mean, they could have said, why is it that you're mistreating our widows? You guys are, you know, taking care of yours. How about ours? I mean, it could have become just like many years, black and white. Like, but, you know, you're racist. I mean, why are you doing this? Could have become just, well, you're Republican. You see, it's just those issues. They come to do what? To split the church. And the church is growing, and now we have to deal with this internal issue. So they complained, the Hellenist Jews, that widows were being overlooked or neglected in the daily distribution of food. Like I said, picture that scenario right there. You see, this ministry was functioning well a while ago, but now, because there's more growth, somebody was getting left behind, neglected, and they complained to the church. Now, the apostles were the shepherds of the church. They had not appointed elders yet, but the apostles are taking care. So they were the leaders of the church, because the church began through their preaching. Now, how are they going to handle that situation? Look what the apostles did, verse 2. It says, and the 12 summoned the full number of disciples. That's like they say, the 12 call a church meeting. You know, you can say, I mean, the full number of disciples. Hey, let's talk about this thing. The 12 called the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve on tables. It is not right that we give up preaching to take on a food pantry. I mean, that's my modern translation. That's what the apostles like. You know, we got to do something, because it's almost like we're already taking care of the preaching and prayer, and now there's another ministry here. It's not right that we give up this one to focus on this one. So another thing that the apostles did, they laid out their priority. You know, in terms of ministry, it's like, you know, the main priority is preaching the word of God. Now, yes, there's another ministry that emerged, food distribution, goods, the distribution of goods among the community. They say it's not right that we give up preaching the word of God to serve on tables. I said they recognize the severity of the issue, but they also recognize that they did not want to be distracted from the main goal. What was the goal of the apostles? To shepherd the flock, to preach the word of God, to preach the gospel to them. And that's what they say. Now, some translations say it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. The New Living Translation said the apostles should spend our time, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. That's more a New Living Translation. So it said, we're the preachers. Get somebody else to run the food program. Now, don't get me wrong, food program was important. What the apostles are identifying here is the priority of their ministry. You know, the word ministry means service. So we're all going to have challenges, we're going to face challenges in our service to God. Whatever you do for the Lord, you will be tested, you will face challenges. I mean, the church is growing, and now we have a complaint from a group of people, Greek-speaking people versus the Hebrew-speaking people about their widows. We're going to deal with this issue, because this issue could have split up the church. As large, as beautiful as it was, because now, you know, it could have become racial, and you don't want to go there. So, what did the apostles do? they call the whole gathering, the disciples, together. It's interesting, when I read the priority of the disciples, the apostles, you see, without the proclamation and teaching of God's word, disciples are not made and developed. You cannot make disciples without the preaching, the gospel. You cannot make disciples without the proclamation of God's word. And we were talking about this morning, if you present watered-down gospel, you develop watered-down disciples. But you present God's truth, you're going to develop true disciples of the word of God. So the apostles said, we cannot neglect the preaching of the word. That's how disciples are made, to run a food program. And then they gathered, they had gathered the church, and they said, this is what, and now this is a suggestion what they said they should be doing. Look at the following verses. Verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this ministry, to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's the word ministry of the word, the service of the word. Everything you do for God is a ministry. It's a service. We, by the way, we all being called to minister. We all been called to ministry. Many of us have paid ministries, but everything you do, even when you talk to somebody on the train, you're ministering. So you, my friends, you are ministers, servants of God. And in serving God, we're going to face challenges. We're going to face obstacles, opposition. We're going to face, you know, difficulties. And here's the first difficulty that they have from within. Just like because somebody was being left behind, neglected, somebody complaining, so we gotta deal with this. So they said, select seven men, and they selected seven. I mean, what the apostle suggested was, please. Everybody agreed with that. And they selected seven men to handle this food distribution ministry in the first century. Now you notice, say, men of great testimony, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. They would be dedicated. They will be the overseers of the ministry of food distribution. These men will handle or manage this task, but we will turn our responsibility. We will focus on our main goal, which is preaching the word of God. We will dedicate ourselves to prayer and the preaching. He said, we will give our attention, they said, to prayer and the ministry of the word, the preaching of God's word. Now, this was approved by the church. Everybody liked that idea, and they selected, the first time you hear the name Stephen. By the way, he was the first Christian to die because of persecution in the next chapter, chapter 7. They selected Stephen, Philip. Philip was known also as the evangelist. By chapter 8, you see that he did not only do the food distribution, he was also a preacher. And God used them to do miracles. So you see, yes, at this particular time in his life, he was selected to take on the food distribution. But you see that's not all that Philip did. He also preached. He went to Samaria as a preacher, and God used him to do miracles. Philip did more than just one ministry. Like many of you might be involved in several ministries. So they selected Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert from Judaism. They said, these men, they presented to the apostles, who pray over them and laid their hands on them. Why are the apostles laying their hands on these men? They are saying, we recognize these men being selected by you, and we're imploring God's blessing on them, because now, from now on, they're going to be in charge of the food distribution ministry. What does that mean, church? When any of you have a complaint, any of you have something to talk about this ministry, don't see the apostles, see Stephen, or see any of these seven men. So the apostles delegated that responsibility. Say, here's the group of men that will be in charge of handling the food distribution. They pray for these ministry leaders and their ministry. So everyone in the church knew the apostles' responsibility. Now everyone who knew the seven men selected, what will they be doing? They will be in charge of the food distribution. You know, like in a church, you might have different ministry. Oh, you want to talk? If you want to be involved in the praise and worship, who do you see? There's always somebody that you see. Who's in charge of the financial thing of the church? Who do you? There's somebody overseeing that ministry. Who's in charge of the educational aspect of the church? There's somebody. The benevolence. There's jail ministry. They're homeless. Who's in charge? Somebody's always in charge of that. And the leaders of the church, what they do, they delegate. They empower those people. You know, they don't do their job for them. They say, okay, you're in charge of that. Anything, let us know what's going on. How can we help? And so the apostles said, they selected, they pray over them, presented it to the church. It says right there. And now you see how they handle that complaint. There will be 7 men in charge of taking care of the food distribution. And I love because God blessed their decision. Look what happened next. Verse 6 says, so they said before the apostles, these they said before the apostles, and they pray and lay their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great and many more priests were becoming obedient. Now, didn't I say that when this issue happened because the church was growing, you see more growth happening again? Because God blessed their decision. You see, what's happening in the first century, the ministries are being developed. You know how some... We have a backward in our society. Sometimes people say, oh, let's create this ministry. Let's have a ministry. The church did not think like that. There was a need, and from that need, a ministry arose. So we got to do something about this food distribution because people, you know, now, oh, there's a ministry being birthed. So they select people to carry on that ministry, and they were in charge of the ministry of the food distribution. At least we know 2 people in the Bible, Philip and Stephen, because the Bible talks about them more, not just here. But we don't know about the other guys. Prochorus, you never hear about him. Or Parmenas, like who were those guys? Who were they? People that the apostles selected to take on the food distribution program in the first century. You see, when it comes to facing challenges as a church, we must learn, we got to do it the way that the disciples, the apostles did it. Because regardless of any problem or issue we face as a church, we must never neglect the mission of the church. We must never neglect Christ's mission, which is to reach the lost, to make disciples of all nations through the preaching of the word. Regardless of how many ministries a church may have, they should never neglect the main priority of the main mission of the church is developing disciples, reaching out the lost. I mean, reaching the homeless and things is great, but if they're not turning to be disciples, they're not turning into Christians, you just fed them. I mean, they still can go to hell with that full tummy. Because the main goal is that they develop a relationship with Jesus. And the apostles, that's what they say, we cannot neglect the preaching of the word of God to carry on a food pantry. Select somebody to take on that ministry, and we're going to focus our attention to the main mission. If somebody were to ask you, what is the mission of the church? The mission of the church has not changed in 2,000 years. It still continues to be the same mission that Jesus had. What did Jesus come? He said, I came to seek and save the lost. I came so that people develop a relationship with me. And the church is here for that. We're not here to hang out with each other, by the way. We love hanging out. That's great. But that's not our mission. You know, fellowship is our mission, is that people that don't know Jesus, we can bring them into our fellowship, and we can develop them into disciples of Jesus. It was the disciples who were given the name Christians. We learned that this morning in Antioch. So regardless of any problems, issues, struggles that we might face as a church, we never neglect the mission of Christ to go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel to all creation, he says. Christ's mission must be the church's main priority. No matter how many ministry that church may have, if the preaching and teaching of God's word is not the main priority, I doubt that we're going to develop true disciples of Jesus. I say that again. No matter how many ministries that church may have, if the preaching and teaching of the Bible is not nowhere in that church, it's not the main priority of the church, I seriously doubt that we're truly going to develop mature seasoned disciples, because disciples are developed through learning the word of God. And that's what the apostles say, hey, somebody else can, we don't want, you see, one thing that you learn from the apostles, you know how it is in some churches, you have the minister do everything. The minister or the preacher or the elders are involved in every ministry. And if the church grows, then now they're going to spread out two things, because I'm here, there, and I'm wearing this hat. And it's like the apostle said, we don't want to do that. Select somebody else to handle that, and we're going to empower, we're going to pray, whatever they need, they can come to us. But no, they're in charge of that ministry. And that's why you, mega churches, you know, sometimes they have the children's ministry, the high school one, and they have certain people in charge of certain responsibility, the financial thing, and outreach ministry, you know, cleaning the church, tearing down. There's a group of people in charge of those ministry. So the apostles didn't do everything themselves. And a lot of churches made that mistake, that the pastor or the elders, they had to do everything. And then sometimes they wonder why they do not experience growth, because you had to delegate. The body of Christ is all of us. So leaders should empower others to serve and not overwhelm themselves with every ministry. The apostles handled the food distribution. They handled that to the seven men. And I love it, because they didn't go like, let me see, you guys doing a good job. Let me just check. No. You guys are responsible for that. We have to do this one, because the church is growing. There's so many ministry being birthed. And it's like, somebody got to be responsible to that one. And we be preaching and teaching and making disciples. You guys take care of food distribution. You guys take care of making buying socks for the homeless. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's responsible for that. That, you see, that's serving God, doing ministry for the Lord. But everything you do for God will not be without challenges and difficulty. And I love, because God rewards their faithfulness. The apostles were faithful to the task, to the mission. And how did God reward them? More people. Now there are even people that used to be priests, and now they're becoming Christians. He says, verse 6, chapter 6, 1 started like when the number of disciples was increasing. You see verse 7 now? And the word of God continued to increase, and more people now were coming to, were becoming Christians. So God blessed their faithfulness, how they handled that. Because the Bible is very clear when it says, if you and I are not faithful with the little things, we will not be faithful with the big things. Jesus said, remember the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of more things. You see that in the text? Now more people are coming, and guess what? There's going to be more people to deal with now. People that used to be priests, now they're going to be Christians. They're going to come with their attitudes and you know, preferences. They're part of the community. More challenges ahead for the church. Well, God bless them. God continued to bless them by bringing more people into the community. So Jesus said, if you are faithful in a few things, he will put you in charge of more things. Remember that was based on the parable of the three talents. The guy with the five talents, he worked it out. And the one with one talent, he hid it. And then Jesus said, like, you could have given that talent to somebody else, man. I mean, hello. And he said, you're a wicked servant, he called him. But the other ones, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You were busy with the task at hand, just like the apostles. And so God rewards faithfulness to the task that he has given to you. God expects you and I to be faithful with what he has entrusted to you. In any ministry or service that you do unto the Lord, he expects you to be faithful to that task at hand, to do it well for his glory. So the church may have a great number of ministries and service. I mentioned some. If you go to a larger church, sometimes you hear about praise and worship ministries. Some people belong to that. Now, you cannot sing, you shouldn't be in that ministry. You know, because that's for people that can, seriously, I mean, some people, like, this is what a lot of churches do, like, I want to be in that ministry, but do you have the abilities, the gifts for that ministry? If you don't, leaders then will have to sit with that person and say, you know, we love you, but you cannot sing. You know, I had to tell a friend of mine one time, seriously, because he wanted to sing. There were people singing, and he wanted to do a special, and I was accompanying him, and he would start poking, he was starting E, and then he was like, all of a sudden, he changed to C. I'm thinking like, hold on, let's start over. You know, we've been trying for a while, and, you know, obviously, God did not give you the gift of singing. I said, but you have a great gift encouraging people. And, you know, he was laughing at me, because he said, wow, thank you for your honesty. I said, God can use you in other capacity, but obviously, this is not it. You know, sometimes people want to be in ministry because, oh, I like this one. I want to be on stage. But You know what I mean? What's the purpose of that ministry? So he ended up then doing, I mean, he can preach, he can do meditation and things like that. He can encourage other people. He was great with drama, doing like things. See, that's your ministry. Let singing to other people. You know, and God will give to you according to your abilities. Sometimes as leaders, our job is to find out what you're good at and plug you in right in that right ministry. You notice it says, seek out men who are good, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. You need wise people to handle people when they complain, you know, because of the food distribution. They will be in charge of that. So in the church, you have praise and worship ministry, teaching or educational ministry, financial ministry. There are people that they're responsible for the finances of the church. They got to know, you know, good with money. That's a tough job. Not everybody in the church want to do that one. You know, you can tell. So some of our sisters can say amen to that, because when it comes time to vote, nobody wants to be responsible for the finances of the church, you know, how things are going and keep counts and all that. That's one of the hardest ministries in a church. And by the way, a pastor should never do that unless the pastor was the one who created the church. They never should be involved in that ministry if the pastor is getting paid by the church. So you get homeless ministries. There are people that are awesome about that. But again, God did not call everyone to be in that ministry, in that particular, you know, it doesn't mean that, oh, we're going to start a homeless program. You all got to, no. Maybe God did not call you for that specific ministry. And that's why I think, that's my plea with churches. So sometimes they think like, oh, we got to plug everybody. Maybe that's not their gift. Maybe they got to be responsible to a different ministry. You get, here's another one, recovery ministry for addicts. Those are great. You know, and you had to have the abilities and the wisdom to deal with people. You know, because not every, you know, going to college, I learned that I wasn't, that my gift wasn't to teach little kids. You know, in college they did something, they would throw us like to do and change diapers in the nursery because they want to train us to get into the ministry aspect. And I'm there, you know, I'm thinking like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing here? You know, but it was just learning. And then later on, junior high, I can handle. But I give it up for some of the teachers that when you're teaching little kids, man, I don't have patience for that. You know, my wife can tell you, I can be a very patient man. But when it comes to like, I'd rather teach adults that they know, that you can tell them, do the homework, and they will do it. You know, but somebody's made for that. So you know that that's not my gift, you know, in that particular, teaching the little ones. I can play around with them. But like to have like a lesson, like they, some of the teachers create a lesson, I don't know that I'd be able to get it through them. So you got people responsible to that. There's children ministers, youth ministries. You have jail ministries. Louis always talk about that. Like he will be one of those that he will be okay with the jail ministries. My dad is the opposite. My dad said, I just want to have a ministry so that they don't go to jail. He said, so it's like, does somebody else take care after they're in jail, then somebody else going there. But my ministry is so that they don't go to jail. So they know, they do things that they don't end up there. You also have people in the church cleaning ministries. You know, we have people here too, that after we're done, they go around picking after ourselves. That we leave the cup in there. There are people like, you know, that's a ministry. And with a sound system, I mean, you're running, you know, not running the church, but you're doing part in the body of Christ, in the community, that is vital to this, for the sake of Christ. Building maintenance. There are people that, you know, so good, like they see a light bulb, oh, we've got to change it. And they have the carpentry, they have the skills in their hands to do that. You know, I can change the light bulb, but don't tell me to fix wires because I don't do electric. You know, because I respect electricity so much. And there are people, they can plumb me. I mean, you know, you got people, your abilities, your skills, you're doing those things for the Lord. As a teacher, I mean, and God's going to use you to impact people. Whatever you do for God is a ministry, it's a service, but you will be faced with challenges, just like here. And how are you going to handle those challenges for the glory of God? Like I said, there's food pantry, that's also called missions ministry. This is where the missionaries will come, and sometimes, you know, churches have like a budget separated for missions and targeted. I mean, all those things and so forth. I just mentioned some. But now, another thing that you and I need to understand, and it just dawned on me when I read this is what a lot of church folks don't understand. Not all the ministries that we do in the church will last forever. Not every ministry that you're doing will continue on forever. Why? Because sometimes whoever was doing the ministry moved or died, and then who's going to carry on that? And sometimes people say, but we used to do these things, so we don't do it anymore. Or we used to do vacation Bible school, but we don't do it. We can always do it. Are you willing to start? Oh, no, but not me. But you know what I mean? That's what sometimes happens in the churches. It's like, you see why we don't do certain ministries that perhaps we used to do? Because some of those people that carry on those ministry, they moved, and now nobody else, you know. So you and I need to understand this about the ministries of the Word of God. Not everything we do in the church or ministries might happen forever. I mean, you can one day, what if we don't have music? So the praise and worship music might, you know, the music might end, but you're still worshiping God. Or maybe you can, whoever was doing the outreach ministry now can, you know. So some ministries are in a church for a time. That doesn't mean they're going to be going on forever. And I have the example to show you right here. This one, the ministry of the food distribution lasted, you know when? Until the church was being persecuted. By chapter 7, Stephen, one of the selected, he gets killed. Philip had to leave Jerusalem. So the Bible says all except the apostles were scattered. So it makes you wonder, what happened to the ministry of food distribution? I mean, things were going so well. It was so beautiful. My friends, it came to an end. And it wasn't time for people like, well you know, we used to do that so well. Yes, they did. But God said he put an end to it. So that's why I want you to understand that not everything that you do in a church, it's going to last forever. I mean, God might, another thing that the Lord does, he might move you from one ministry to another. You started as a food pantry, but now you're teaching the kids. Or maybe backward, you started teaching the kids, and now you're one of the treasures of the church. Or maybe you're now doing homeless ministry or outreach. God might use you, and the ministries come for a time, for a specific time, and the Lord might move you different places. I mean, I've seen people that they got sick and they couldn't do certain ministries that they used to love, but now, what's the priority? Your health. So that's what I want you to understand, that not every ministry that we do in the church will carry on forever. You know, by the way, one day even preaching the gospel will stop. I'm looking forward when I don't have to do this anymore. You know, telling people because, and do you know when that, the preaching of the gospel and making disciples will stop? That one will stop when Jesus comes. When he comes, then we will have to preach or praying ministry. That will stop when Jesus comes too. The one that will not stop was fellowshipping with Jesus. That will even be better, enhanced, being with the Lord. So the ministry of the food distribution lasted when the severe persecution broke out against the church and the disciples. Stephen was dead. Philip had to go. You can read about in the book of Acts chapter 8. God allowed that persecution against his church. Why? Why did God allow persecution against a church when everything was growing and people were so beautiful? Why did God allow that to happen? You know why? Because the church needed to be mobilized. The church was so content in Jerusalem. But now, was that Jesus' mission for the church to stay in Jerusalem, to stay in one place? Jesus said in chapter 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. My friends, the church was so content in Jerusalem, they were not going to go anywhere else. Now we have this, and they became inwardly focused. They were running a food program, more disciples. They're not going to go anywhere until the Lord allowed persecution to break out. And the church, chapter 8, says all except the apostles had to leave Jerusalem. So bye-bye, food pantry distribution. Well, you know, that ministry came to an end because of persecution. Sometimes God would do that to us. When we get so inwardly focused about something, God will use something to wake us up or to really, so that we don't get inwardly, it's all about us. It's all about us. But how about inviting people? It's not about us. It's about reaching out the lost. So the church, they were taking care of their community. All this food pantry was all from within. It was for the church. It needed to happen. But that's all they were doing right there. You know, it's almost like whoever came to Jerusalem, we preached to them, but that wasn't the mission. The mission was Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, which is like Samaria will mean for the apostles, those who don't speak or look like you. So foreigner too, Jesus said, I want them to, and to the ends of the earth. The church wasn't going to move, and then now God said, watch me. Persecution came, whoops, and then the church began to mobilize. But the beauty of that was that when they were going, everywhere they went, they began to preach the gospel to other people. And now we got churches in Antioch, in Syria, because those who were persecuted, they did not stop proclaiming the word of God. The food distribution ministry was just, like I said, was caring for the needs of the community. They had a great system in place, great fellowship, and God reminded them that the mission was not being fulfilled. God reminded them that truly that the running the food pantry or having fellowship, that was not the mission of the church. That was something the church did to take care of their needs, but the mission is still out there, to preach the gospel to those who are lost. Persecution mobilized the church and the food pantry came to an end. Like, that's what I'm saying, that some ministry just based on the circumstances, based on the situation, people move or people die that were doing it, and now there's nobody else who wants to volunteer to do it. That's when a time when you put it to an end. You see, there's something called Vacation Bible School that a lot of churches used to do that. And here in the island, I found out churches stopped doing it. You know why? You know why people stop doing Vacation Bible School? Vacation Bible School is a beautiful program, like to teach the kids about, you know, the gospel. But Vacation Bible School became just like babysitting kids. So, you know, it wasn't like, and people say, we just don't want to babysit your kids. We want to teach, you know, and so people just drop them off. And it's like, oh, you know, like, give me an hour or two without the kids. And it's like, but that, and so a lot of churches say, we're not going to do that program anymore. And there was a friend of mine, 20 years ago, he got hired, and the first thing he did was kill the whole Vacation Bible School program. And the church began growing. I mean, you said that 20 years ago, you'd be like, heretic. It's like, what? You know, because everyone was doing that. I went to Vacation Bible School to preach. I was the missionary, and you know, a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful program, but when the main goal of the program is not being fulfilled, that's when you realize we gotta either change these things around, because now we wanted to train the kids, but no, just they're playing games. We're babysitting. God did not call you to babysit; He called to train the kids. You know, and so that a lot of churches, I found out even in the island, that they're doing something else. They found a different way to reach kids than doing those programs. Now, a lot of people's like, how dare you killing the Vacation Bible School? We've been doing that for 20 years. Yeah, and now it's a time that came to an end. And because the Lord, we're getting so inwardly focused. And some preachers, we might get fired from churches if we decided to kill a program like that, because they always done it. But sometimes, my friends, there's no fruit. So everywhere the disciples went, they were preaching the gospel, and more communities were being born in different towns, and now they continue to, the churches are growing all over the place, because persecution could not stop it. Satan could not distract him from a complaint and food distribution. I mean, God is blessing their goal. God is blessing their mission. My friends, Jesus expects you and I to be faithful to the call, to the task that He has laid out for us. You and I are special in God's kingdom. You got skills. He blessed you with gifts, and you doing things for His kingdom. Whatever you do, I mean, Jesus said, whatever you do, Paul says, whatever you do, do it all as if you're doing it for Him. Because really, it is the Lord Jesus that we are serving. And He expects us to be faithful with the task, whatever it is that we do. Even when I'm playing softball, that's an opportunity for me to talk to somebody about Jesus. There's a guy one time who told me, hey, I know that it was Saturday. He said, I know you're going to go to church tomorrow. Would you say a prayer for me? Because I'm going through a lot. And I said, I can pray for you. He says, no, just tomorrow. You can pray. But you see, now we got into a conversation about prayer, even in the softball field, even at school where you work. There you are as an ambassador. And so, just like those apostles, everywhere they went, they presented Jesus. Everything a church does should fall under the umbrella of reaching or preaching, teaching the word of God with the gospel, and should fall under the umbrella of making disciples. Everything that we do in the church should be like, how is this ministry making you into a better disciple of Jesus? How is this helping you to gain a better understanding of Christ? How is this helping your faith? Everything that church does should fall under that. God will use anything to mobilize His people, to mobilize His church. I see that happening in the book of Revelation too, when God told a church, wake up, you're sleeping. And God will use Saul of Tarsus. He was persecuting Christians, and God knocked him down. Sometimes we say from the horse. We don't know if he was riding on a horse, but he ended up on the floor and blinded for 3 days because he was opposing the church of God. God will use anything. And you see, persecution, persecuting Christian. Why would God allow? You are such a loving God. Why would you allow that to happen? Because you were getting so comfortable with your own groups. You were coming inwardly focused. And God said, no, I want them too. It's not just your community. Your community is there so that you can be salt and go out and season the world. So God will use anything to mobilize you and I when we neglect His mission. My friends, challenges will come and go. But you and I, our job is to remain faithful to the task that He has given to us. He has entrusted to us. And my son and my daughter probably remember, because I always quote a movie, The Lord of the Ring. When Frodo he's carrying the ring and he's by himself because his friend, he doesn't know where they are, and he's just like having doubts, like, but he had a mission to fulfill. And this elf lady had to come, and she told Frodo, this task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shires. And if you do not find a way, no one will. This task of reaching the lost and preaching the gospel has been appointed to you, church. And if we do not find a way, God's not going to send Elijah and angels to do it. That's going to be our task. But we're going to face challenges. They will come and go, but God expects us to be faithful to the task at hand. Let's go for it. Let's pray.